I can move with this. When I move, you move. Just like that. Oh, wrong place. Y'all, first of all, I don't know if you've seen me up here, but first of all, good afternoon and praise the Lord. I don't know if you can tell by the smile on my face, but I'm excited to be here. My wife would tell you, I'm not testifying, I'm testifying. I didn't sleep good last night because all I dreamt about was being here. Well, we had church this morning, and believe me, we had church. Because there ain't nothing greater than I love to do than walk in the calling that God has given me. See, I didn't do this. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't do this. But he called me to it, and he sees me through it. And I'm just so glad that he brought me here today. See, let me just share something with you. Us being here today is truly an answer to prayer. Right, I've had the privilege of meeting Pastor Reverend Perkins when I showed up at an outreach that y'all were having for the community. All right. Amen. I'm an outreach pastor. I usually introduce myself as Pastor Evangelist, yeah. Right? Because that's what we're supposed to do, is share the word. But near the end of May, I was talking to my church. I've recently become the last 7 months. 8 months, I became the senior pastor of Northwoods Baptist Church, 5803 Dreschwig Road. I say that every time I preach. I let them know, we doing a work over in our community, but we don't stay in our community. That's why we came over to see some family. We came over to encourage you and make sure you're doing what you're supposed to do where you at, right? Because we're going to have you over to the house too. You know, we're going to let chop it up and have some dinner and serve it hot. The word of God, I love to do that. But I, near the end of May, I was talking to my church about fellowship with other churches and other communities to show the love of God, like to grow our church to look like our community. And I don't know if you looked around, communities are changing. Oh, come on, somebody. Right? And I wanted to show the love that God spoke about that we're supposed to show one to another publicly so other people can see it. So they can come be a part of it. So that they can see what Jesus has done in our hearts, right? And it starts with a willingness of the heart to step out of our comfort zones, right? To think out of the box, to allow one thing to identify us. One thing, Christianity, right? Because if we put anything in front of that, that thing will determine our Christianity. See, I just like to break it down like this. Before I'm a black man, I'm a Christian. You better believe that. Christ dictates my blackness, okay? Not the culture. Not history. Because that's another story. Christ, before I'm a husband, I'm a Christian. That's how she knows she got a good one. Because she can tell you she knew me before I was a Christian. And I was just a husband. And that didn't work out too good. Before I'm a father, a brother, a friend, a teacher, a preacher, I'm a Christian. Christ determines everything that I do. And Christ let me know that everyone that identifies him as Lord and Savior, everyone that understands that he walked the earth for 33 years, that he was born of a virgin, right? That he preached the kingdom of God, was present and was to come, that he was tortured and nailed to a cross, laid in a tomb. Everyone that believes that he got up, that he walked around, he had a fish fry. Everyone that calls themselves that kind of Christian, a blood-bought believing Christian, is my brother and sister in Christ. I want you to know that everybody that says they're a child of God ain't. Right? You got to be born again to be born of. Amen? And so I got this invitation to come the day before I announced it to the church, but I didn't see it till the day after. I was talking to the church. I said, hey, I'm partnering up with some pastors. I'm going to reach out to some pastors I know, da, da, da. And then I get the invitation to come in fellowship with family and friends. And I quickly said yes, because I knew it wasn't your invitation, but God's. Right? And I have to say that based off of something that happened here. Praise dancer. Where'd she go? I want to thank you. I never heard that song but a year. I heard that song a year ago for the first time. This weekend marks the anniversary of the death of one of my grandchildren, one of the twins. He was in utero. His mother got into an accident. And I was broken. Like, man, I didn't know what to do. I knew I couldn't fix it. And he died. And I remember being in my office, and I always play music. I'm always praising. Praise is very important to me. And this song came on. God, do it for me. If you can't do it. See, one of my grandchildren was in there fighting for his life. And I'll just tell you today, Rowan is still growing. Right? One is home with the Lord, and one is here with us, and they're identical twins, so I know what he looked like. So when I get there, he can go, Baba Pop, there you are. Amen. God was answering a prayer, and it was confirmed when she did that. I was like, man, I'm in the right place at the right time. How do you know that it's not a coincidence that you're here? It's not just because your church is having a family, friend day, fun day, whatever. It's because God ordained this time. Right? Sometimes we forget who's in control. We think we had a say, right? But when I woke up this morning, I knew God had a plan and a way. And he won't get his way always. And I'm just excited. I know my church family who came to support us is excited to be here. I told them there's going to be some good food. So they probably came for that. See, they're used to evening service at 5:30. So I told them I'm going to preach from whenever they give me the mic to 5:30, then we go eat. I just want to make sure the men behind me got my back. They ain't back here talking about, no. Uh-oh, I got the look from some of my sisters like, remember, you're a guest in this house. Praise the Lord. As I said, I am Pastor Evangelist Aaron Thomas from Northwoods Baptist Church. I just love saying at 5803 Treasury Road, we're doing a work over there. In other words, I said it again so that you know that we're right down the street and around the corner. We're right down the street and around the corner, so you're welcomed anytime. And we're honored. We are honored to be in this house of the Lord, in this house of God. I want to thank you, Pastor. I want to thank you for trusting me in this moment with your congregation, with the Word of God. You know, the real meal. And it's funny, I talked to my brother before I got here. I said, what do you know? He said, you know, I went home to get this meat I prepared. I said, don't worry, I'm about to fill them up. So I prepared some meat, too. You hear that? I prepared some prime rib. Right? I prepared some prime rib. We're not just here to be together because we share a relationship, but we're here for fellowship. And that entails a whole lot more. Right? I want to say today, I want to, in lieu of the message, in lieu of the theme, I want to talk about fellowship. It's the Greek word koinonia. All right. Right? Fellowship is a good translation, but you have to remember something. The word koinonia is not a word that can really be translated in the English language. Right? And it's not what we typically do. It's not typically what happens on a Sunday morning in church. See, a lot of times we show up in church on Sunday morning because of the relationship, but we don't let ourselves get into fellowship. It's a lot more intimate. It's a lot more personal. It's a lot more vulnerable. It involves a lot more trusting and sharing, loving and caring. It involves us allowing ourselves to put our guard down and not worry about sister so-and-so and brother such-and-such and what they're going to do with what they might hear or see, but letting God handle that. See, I'm in the midst of family. And sometimes when you come to fellowship with family, you got to find that brother or sister that you can really talk to. that you can go actually walk in what God says and share burden and cast burden. Right? Share love and receive love. God has intended for our fellowship to be so much more than what we see and what we do. And this is how it starts. This is how it starts to grow, by opening up church doors, by tearing down these boundaries that the culture has allowed us to build up. Right? I'm going to say it like this. A lot of times we participate in things that are not Christian. They're cultural. See, we're used to it, and we perpetuate the fear we're trying to fight. I'm sorry, Jesus did it all. He tore down all the walls, and fellowship the way God intended involves God being a part of it. Wait, that involves God being a part of you. See, you can't fellowship the way God intended if you ain't got God. Okay? Now, so I only got 26 pages of notes. I promise to only go through 20 of them. I see you. Pastor's wife sitting back there like, mm-mm. Hold up now. My nap time's at 4:15. No, I'm kidding. So before I go any further, let's stand for the reading of the word. Turn to your Bibles, if you will, to 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Actually, we're going to read 1 John 1 through 7. And then I'm going to expound upon it. I'll pull some things out of it. And then we're going to go back there and eat if you're still hungry. But I hope you've brought your fork and you're ready to eat from the word of God. Amen? Amen. Because this is the real meal. This is the real meal. The word of God says in 1 John 1 and following, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And all these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which I have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now focus on this. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. God bless the reading and the hearing of his word. Father, as I take this opportunity to be used by you, Lord, I pray that you pour me out. Fill me up, Holy Spirit, and have your way in me. Allow me to decrease, that you increase, that we may hear from you, Heavenly Father, and that we may be reminded what it is to be a child of God and to become part of the family of God and to watch you work in our lives and tear down what the enemy has tried to build up. Lord, I pray and ask that everyone here, everyone listening, everyone that is tuned in online, Lord, that they hear that personal, that they get that personal word from you, that I serve your word to them in a palatable way, a way that they can digest it and take it, and that it'd be good for their soul and their spirit. Lord, move in and through me. Move in and through everyone here in the hearing of my voice, that you may be magnified, that Jesus may be lifted up, and God, you may receive glory. And it's in his precious and mighty name that I pray. Amen? Amen. So you may be seated. Simply put, John is saying that if we claim we are friends with God, if we claim that we are children of God and that we belong to God, but we walk in sin, walk in darkness. Now the sin and darkness that he's talking about isn't the sin that we find ourselves stumbling in or participating in. He's talking about a pattern of living. He said, if we walk in darkness, walking is a pattern. It's a something that we do on a consistent basis. Right? He said, then we're lying, because God only walks in the light. God only walks. One cannot walk in the darkness and also be a friend with God. Right? It just can't happen. And if you can't be friends with God at a moment in time, you can't have fellowship with God. Right? We sometimes tend to have fellowship with people that aren't walking with God and wondering why God ain't listening to us. Because we walking with them and not with Him. Right? I'm going to just say a few things, and I might step on a few toes because I'm known to do that. So please forgive me, because I'm aiming for your heart. Right? This is a heart situation. Right? To understand fellowship as God intended it, we have to unpack what John is saying here in context with the other verses. See, that's why I read the whole thing. See, when you get a few verses, you might think you know what it's saying, what's really going on, and God goes, hold on. This is what I always teach you. When somebody quotes a verse to you, take the opportunity to go read one or two above it and one or two below it, and you'll have the full understanding of what it means, right? To understand the fellowship as God intended, we have to look at what John was saying, how he's showing how you walk in fellowship with God. And when you do that, right, when you walk in fellowship with God, you can walk in fellowship with God's people. See, you can't walk in fellowship. You can't walk as one. You can't walk united. You can't walk on the same path of righteousness with God's people if you hold the devil's hand, because he's gone in a different direction. Right? And you got to remember something. Let me, a little history. When John wrote this book, this is a love letter from John. Right? It's not high theology. It's practical living for Christians, right? A practical understanding of who God is. And who you're supposed to be. Wait, let me change the way I said that. Who your daddy is and what your daddy expects you to do. Right? We family. And where do we get that concept, right? Remember, Jesus was in a different house. He was in a different house, and he was preaching and sharing the word of God. And the house was packed with a whole bunch of people. And his mama and his brothers came looking for him. And they came pounding on the door because they thought, oh, he done lost his mind. He up in that house. What are you doing in that house? What are you doing over at Pilgrim Branch? Yeah. Right? I guess they open the door and they say, y'all stay outside. You ain't thinking right. And they walked in and they walked up to Jesus and they said, best role he ever got to play. Lord, your brother, your mother and brothers and sisters are at the door. And the Lord said, see that? Oh, he ain't read his Bible.
Those who do my will are my brothers, my mother, my brothers and sisters.
Those that do the will of my Father are my brothers and sisters and my mothers. I got a whole lot of mamas. Did I say that right? Okay, let me. I have a whole lot of mothers. Either way, you know, it could be. No, I have a whole lot of brothers and sisters. I have a whole lot of family, and I'm excited about that. Right? We have to see that the only way to fellowship with one another in a way that is pleasing to God is to have fellowship with God. And the only way that happens is through the Spirit of God. True fellowship cannot be without an obedient relationship. Right? An obedient heart. One that strives for godliness every day. Right? We're not here because we're worthy. We sing this worship song in a church. I'm not up here because I'm worthy. You're not sitting in that seat because you were ever worthy. You're sitting there because it's of His mercy, His grace, His love, His compassion, His desire to have fellowship with you, so that you could have fellowship with others and they could come to know the love of God. That's why we're here today, right? Like, true fellowship has to be out of an obedient relationship, recognizing the difference between relationship and fellowship, and properly understanding where these two meet. Because Without the relationship first, there will never be fellowship. Without coming to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, I'm gonna break it down, because it's truly important that you understand what John was saying in the first four verses. Or actually, yeah, the first four, because that's how we get to 5 and 6 and 7, right? Whether we be biologically born of faith, born of circumstance, relationship can exist where fellowship does not. And that is not how God intended for Christians to be, right? And I want you to understand, we got family, biological, blood bought, blood linked, that we never see, that we don't care to see sometimes, that we don't talk to, right? But we got family that is blood bought, believers in Christ who we should desire to see. Who that when we walk into the house, like Sister Liz said, when I walked in here, I felt welcome. Amen. I felt at home, right? Because the thing that puts us together is the cross, Jesus Christ, and the blood. See, we all been born again of the same Father, and we need to recognize that. We need to pay attention to that, and because of that, we can come together in fellowship, and that meat better be good. I'm hungry. I'm sorry. I don't eat before I preach. Right? I get a break. We have two services too, so usually I get to eat lunch and then take a little nap. Well, you're getting my nap time and my lunch time, so I'm going to be hungry when it's done, and then I'll probably fall asleep at the table. Anyway, but before we get there, we're going to get here. So that when we go back there, our fellowship brings a greater glory to God. Because we have a greater understanding of God and what he wants, right? People confuse relationship and fellowship, and they're different. Fellowship has to do with the way we deal with one another, the way we interact, because a relationship with Christ exists. You got to understand something. And we're to deal with one another in love. A greater love than the world. That people go, how you don't even really know him. Why are you loving on him like that? Blood bought. They can't even understand that. Born again. Saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm sorry. I'm always treat him better than you. Because he going to be with me and you ain't. I'm sorry. I ain't afraid to say that. I'm not afraid to tell somebody, if you ain't got Jesus, you ain't got nothing I got. And nothing I want. Right, I want you to think about the relationships again with our family and our friends. We go days, weeks, months, and sometimes even years without fellowshipping, without coming together in love and sharing one another's burdens, one another's lives, one another's success and joys. How can you rejoice with somebody that you don't go and be around? How can you mourn with somebody that you don't go be around, right? How can you walk in faith with somebody that you don't go be around, right? How as a Christian, do you just stay in your house and not go visit your brothers and sisters? Like this, I just want to say that like this. You want to tear down walls? Walk through doors. I want you to look around. I want you to look at this fellowship. Right? I want you to feel comfortable in any house of God you walk into because you're a child of God. Not because you don't look like the people in the house. Because you look like someone created in the image and likeness of the only true living God. And I can fellowship with you. I can hang out with you. I can kick it with you. Right? You got to understand that. Right? John said, this is not what God wants. He wants us to see him. Watch this. I'm quoting verses here, and I need you to catch this. I need you to catch what John did when he got to verse 5. He said, God wants us to see him in our lives. He wants us to hear him as he speaks to us and guides us. He wants us to handle the word of truth and be loving with one another and bear witness of our eternal life in Christ. By the way we live and love, that our fellowship with the Father may be evident and our joy may be made full. And that is to be done even in the company of one another. I want you to catch all the things that John said in verses 1 through 4. We bear witness. We have seen. We have seen with our eyes. We have heard him. He wants from us to handle the truth. Everything that John said that they had that makes their fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. Read that. He said, because when you do that, you will have fellowship with him, which will in turn will give you fellowship with God the Father in Christ Jesus, and your joy will be made full. You know how you're joyful? Being in fellowship with God, knowing that God is guiding you, hearing God talk to you, reading God's word, lifting up God so that others and the love of God can flow through you and others can see it, right? It's not that causes, watch. Those things cause fellowship with the Spirit of God. And when you fellowship with the Spirit of God, God said, if I be in you, I draw all men to me. People fellowship together because they share God. People fellowship together because the Spirit identifies the Spirit and it realizes that we're one. One body, one faith, one baptism. Come on, somebody. Right? Right? That, the fact that God is light sets up natural, when you hear that God is light, there's a natural contrast with darkness. If light is a metaphor for righteousness and goodness, then you know that darkness signifies evil and sin. Verse 5 says that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. Note that we are not told that God is a light, but that he is light. Right? There's a big difference. Light is a part of his essence and his love. Right, as we, if you read the whole letter in John in 4:8, he says, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love is light. Right? Does your light shine? I teach on Thursday nights. We have what's called Thursday night lights. Let the light of God shine through you, the love of God shine through you, that others may come to know it. This message is that God is completely, unreservedly, absolutely holy. The fact that God is light, he is with no mixture of sin, no taint of iniquity, no hint of injustice. He is pure. Those of us who know God, who walk with him, are the light and walk in the light. We are made partakers of this nature. To become a partaker of what God is and what God does, you have to have a relationship and fellowship with God. You just have to, right? That's what 2 Peter 1:4 says, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires, right? Then we can partake of God's nature because through the cross we have escaped the world. The wrath of, we always think about the wrath of God that we've been delivered from and not the fellowship of God we've been delivered to, right? And it becomes evident when we get together as Christians, when we stay right with God, as we continue to pursue his fellowship and fellowship with one another, right, based off of his word and his way and show his love, because God wants to share his life with us in the land of the living. Right? A lot of people are so heavenly minded, they miss God right in front of them. Right? They miss this opportunity, right? Right here, like, I was so excited. I'm hot. Can I come out my jacket? Oh, told you we're going to be here for a while. So I'm going to get comfortable. When I start unbuttoning my vest, you all better get comfortable. Get another chair and put your feet up. Because I don't know what the Spirit going to do with me. Anyway, when we stay right with God, we see that he desires to give us a deeper experience of spiritual intimacy. When you get closer to God, when you fellowship with God, you see people different. You love people deeper. You love people even when you know they ugly to you. When somebody comes and go, you know they're talking about you, right? I ain't worried about them. Come over here. Let me hug on them. I find out you talking to me, I'm coming right up into your face. How you doing? Hey. Right? For real. Ask anybody to know. Ask my church. I've been forgiven of almost everything. I've been forgiven just about everything. Come on, y'all, correct that. Somebody, pastor, talk to him. How would I have been forgiven of? everything. And God says, forgive as you have been forgiven. We hold on to so much stuff so we can break. That's what the devil's plan is, to break fellowship, to tear down ties, right? To cut the hand off the body. You see, somebody, it might be a hand. And because we don't want fellowship with them, we cut the hand off. Hand over there rotten, and we are bleeding to death. I'm just saying, I'm trying to give you visuals. I'm trying to understand, right? When you become intimate with God, when you walk in this spiritual understanding that God is always with you, that he should never leave you nor forsake you, that he's your fourth man in the fire all the time. You come to this place of fellowship that it's easy to walk into a house of the Lord and fellowship with other people. He desires this. God is light, and it's his plan that believers shine forth his light, becoming more like Christ every day. 1 Thessalonians 5:5 says, you are all sons, daughters, of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. So quit acting like it. Right? I like to say it like this. My wife says it to me like this sometimes. You know, the Holy Ghost in my house sounds a whole lot like her. She said, get over yourself. You're not that important. I'll be like, girl, I'm the pastor. She goes, not to me. You my husband, and I'm helping meeting the need. Right? You need to understand who you are in God. Yes, ma'am. That's our fellowship. Intimate fellowship, right? To where you can say stuff to one another in love. You can correct someone, rebuke someone. Rightly, the Bible says, with gentleness and love. Like, because if I love you, I'm not going to let you walk off a cliff, run into a car. Okay, some of you I might. I mean, I don't know y'all, so I heard about some of you, so you might. No, I'm kidding. That's just me being messy. I do that. I'm kidding. I want you to think about what fellowship should look like. In the book of Acts, when the church was built, in Acts chapter 2, verses 44 through 47, the idea of true koinonia was manifest at that time. And the scripture says, and all who believe were together and had all things in common. See, fellowship requires us to have all things in common. And the only way, not that people weren't different, but the only way we have all things in common is because Christ is the thing. Right? But it says, watch what it says in the scripture. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. I got need, y'all. You want to sell something? I'll take it to the pawn shop for you. No, I'm kidding. Right? As all had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. The body of Christ was in such a fellowship that there was not a need that was not taken care of. There was not hunger that was not taken care of. There was not a broken heart that wasn't tended to and comforted. There wasn't a sick person that had to wait on somebody. They were together. They walked in fellowship. They did it together so that they could show the love of God. All right, and then it says they broke bread. They came into the house. I'm in the house to break bread. I'm telling you. I smelled food when I got to the door. Right? So I'm serving this meal. Y'all better eat. Because then we're going to go eat. Amen. Amen. God never intended for his people to be separate. He never intended for racism, politics, financial position, education, the Hatfields and McCoy. He never intended for us to be separated. And I'm going to get a little messy. You sure? Yeah, you can clean up after I'm done, right? I get sick and tired of churches not representing their community. It's going to be that way. But we got to break down the walls. We got to go into to Samaria, right? If you're from Jerusalem, take your butt to Samaria and invite some people into the house of the Lord. That's where we come from, right? I said like this, there's a common bond that should drive us to want to come together as brothers and sisters. You see, you might have something I don't. You might know something I don't. But what you know is from who I know. And so I come to get it. Fellowship becomes intimate and personal when we see that God is working in the body, everything we need. When we read Acts, we see that everything, I've always said this since I became a Christian, and I wasn't always one. But everything we need to live in life today is in the church. There's somebody in here that has a skill for everything. There's somebody in here has an extra dollar or two. Where you at? I'm kidding. Right? Everything we need is in the church. But when we don't fellowship, when we don't share, when we don't talk to each other, when we don't become intimate with one another, we're vulnerable, right? We miss that opportunity to share what we really are in Christ, what God has purposed, planned, and gifted us to do, right? But if you have fellowship, if you have fellowship with God, he'll lead you to the right brother in your hour of need. He'll do that. It's important for followers of Jesus Christ to come together. Terms such as family, together, fellowship are all important concepts used throughout the Bible. I'm going to give us... I'm looking at time. I'm trying to be mindful. However, God told me just give them what you got. I condensed 26 pages down for y'all. So I'm going to give you 5 points. Okay, just five. Five more points. Y'all with me? You sure? Because, you know, you looking at me kind of like, brother, I'm hungry. She's sitting close to the door, too. Don't get up because she going to run you over. I'm using big man right here. Be my lead blocker. No, I'm kidding. I just want to give you 5 points of fellowship. What fellowship truly does for the Christian. All right? Fellowship makes us stronger. No matter where we are in our faith, fellowship provides strength. When you're around believers, other believers give us the chance to learn and grow in our faith, give us a chance to lean on them. It demonstrates to us why we believe, and sometimes it is the excellent food for our souls. It's great to be out in the world evangelizing others, bringing them to the Lord, bringing them in the house so that they can go out. But it can easily make us hard and eat away at our strength, right? Sharing the gospel can wear us down, so coming together can make us stronger. When we deal with the hard-hearted world, it can become easy to fall into a hard-heartedness ourselves. And bring that into our churches. And that's why we don't fellowship, because of the life we live outside of here. Right? Starts to wear on us. It's always good to spend some time fellowshipping first with God and then one another. And remember that God uses the body to make the body stronger. Romans chapter 1 verse 12 says, Paul says that they share things that make everyone stronger in faith and happier. Right? Their friendship shows the world what it means to follow Jesus together, and believers get a lot from being close friends. Right? As believers, we learn to walk in that light of God in a more productive, loving, and kind way. It makes a stronger fellowship. Number two, fellowship provides us with encouragement. Right? Because we all have bad moments. We all have bad times. We all have bad people that we encounter throughout the day. And whether it's the loss of loved ones, whether it's a failed exam, money problems, health crisis of faith, we can find ourselves overwhelmed. However, if we go too low, it can lead us to anger. It can lead us to separation and disillusionment of God. Right? However, when we fellowship in these times, it helps us to keep our eye on God. When we come to a brother and sister who has shared our burden, who has been through what we're going through, who knows an encouraging word, it motivates us to keep going. Right? Sometimes we want to ask, why God, and we get in fellowship and like, it ain't why, it's what. What is it, Lord, that you need me to know? But we're so beaten down, we're so low that without fellowship, without fellowship. See, God uses some of us to lift up others who sometimes won't say nothing. So because you're in fellowship with God, sis, God going to tell you something about a brother or sister that might not want to fellowship with God because they stuck. You ever been stuck? Right? You ever been at a crisis of faith, mad at God, so focused on the hurt, the problem, or whatever, that you don't know what to do? And so you're not in fellowship, but you show up in church where fellowship is going on because you have a relationship with Jesus, and God speaks to your sister and says, go on over there and tell her that I saw her under the tree crying. Come on, somebody. And I got an answer, and it's on her way. See, fellowship in the body of Christ is an encouragement. Philippians 2, 1 and 2 says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one of mind. See, when you're in fellowship, you understand that sometimes my brother and sister are hurt. But me standing in the gap, didn't you say two or more? Me being in the gap. I talk to Dad. I'm in fellowship with the Father. Right? And my joy is full and complete. I'm in fellowship with the Son. See, John said when you walk with him, when you get in his word, when you see him in your life, sometimes you can go fellowship with somebody who's out of fellowship and take them by the hand and bring them back in. Amen? That's because they had a relationship. The third thing that fellowship does, it reminds us we're not alone. You ain't in this by yourself. First, he said he'll never leave nor forsake you. But when you come together with believers in worship and conversation helps to remind us that we're not alone, that we don't got to fight it alone. If you go if you go to, I believe it's 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, 11, like this, the sufferings that we endure are shared with our brothers throughout the world. They're shared. That means they're common. You go through it, I go through it, but they're shared. I come and share it with you. To remind you, I've been through it, and I'm going to walk with you. You ain't got to walk through this alone. I've been there. I know the valley low and the mountain high. I know the way to go, and you get to share that. That's what fellowship is. 1 Corinthians 12, 21 says, the eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. You see, you need me, right? You need me, but I need you. Right, we need one another. And all of us need the head, Christ Jesus. That's where the rest of the fellowship comes together. That's where a body knows how to operate and do what it's supposed to do properly, decent, and in order. Four, right? We on four? Yeah. What else does fellowship do? And this is one of the most important things to me. Fellowship helps us grow. Coming together is a great way for each of us to grow in our faith. Amen. Coming together is a great way to grow our understanding of the Word of God. Coming together, reading our Bible and praying are great ways to get closer to God, therefore getting closer to one another. Right? When we come together in fellowship, we teach each other things that we didn't know. We teach other greater understandings of the Word of God. The Scripture says iron sharpens iron. My iron isn't so sharp that it doesn't need some sharpening. When I get around men of God, women of God, and sometimes I hear them talk about God, I go, dang, I didn't think of it like that. Right? And it helps me grow in my understanding. See, you cannot exhaust the Word of God. And sometimes God will say something to you in a way that he never said it to me. And faith come through hearing. So sometimes God will give you something that I need to hear that will help me grow. And that grows fellow. And that's what fellowship does when we come together. 1 Corinthians 14, 26 says, well, my brothers and sisters, let us surmise. When you meet together, one will sing. Another will teach. Another will tell some special revelation God has given. One will speak in tongues, and another will interpret what is said. But everything that is done must strengthen all of you. That's what the Bible says. Right? That when we fellowship, it helps us to continue to grow. And finally, fellowship gives us a more complete picture of who God is. Right? You ready for this? This is it. Fellowship lets me see how wonderful and amazing and how far God can see beyond my sight. Right? Each of us together shows all of God's grace to the world. Each of us together and all of our differences share the greatest likeness, and it's Christ. It's the image of God. It's the love of God. And it shows us who God is. Right? No, none of us are perfect. We all sin, but each of us has a purpose here on this earth to show aspects of God to those around us. All of us ain't called to do the same thing, but we're all called to do it for the same God, the same Father, the same faith, the same Lord, right? When we come together in fellowship, it's like us as a whole demonstrating God to the world. We reveal God to the world, and fellowship helps us do that. Think of it like this. It's a cake thing. Hold on. You need the flour, sugar, eggs, oil, and more to make a cake. Right? The eggs will never be the flour. Right? None of them make up the cake alone. Yet together, all these ingredients make a delicious cake. All you beautiful people make up the body of Christ. Right? And when you come together, you glorify God in God's glory. The Bible says there's nothing like the glory that God wants to show in our lives. Right? When we come together and see Him. Paul tells us in Romans 12:4-6, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body. Each member belongs to all the others. Each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. Each of us together shows Christ as a whole. Right? The importance of fellowship as God intended it is that it is the hard evidence that we are walking in the light as He is in the light. It shows that Jesus' blood is cleansing us of all sin and unrighteousness, so that we too, along with the Apostle John, may have the oneness and fellowship with the Father and Christ Jesus, His Son. True Christian fellowship is Christians sharpening one another's faith and stirring one another to exercise that faith in love and good works. Father, to you be the glory. Lord, may this fellowship, may our being together just glorify you. And we thank you, Heavenly Father. For I know that I needed this. I needed to be reminded that being around the family is a good thing. Getting together with the family is an important and necessary thing. Lord, let us not stop with just today, but let us seek opportunities to fellowship one with another as individuals, as groups, as couples, to edify and grow one another, that you, our Father in heaven, may be glorified and our joy may be full. Lord, we love you and we thank you, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huffsmith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m., and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but he is the vine.